Well, hello, Community Bible Church family and friends. Here it is, Easter Sunday 2020, and what a Sunday and Easter celebration it is. While our usual celebrating is not what we normally do, normally our church family would have had an Easter breakfast, we would have had a church full of people, we would have had a kids' Easter egg hunt, we would be gathering around with extended family and friends for Easter dinner. All of that obviously has changed, but one thing that hasn't changed is the core truth of Easter. What hasn't changed is that we celebrate today the risen Christ, the empty tomb. He's risen indeed. So why don't we pray together as we prepare to look into God's Word today. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity to celebrate the fact that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is alive, and that it is the cornerstone truth of our Christianity and our salvation. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would speak to us today as we look into your Word. And Lord, we give you the praise and thanks for all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to take us to John chapter 20 and to think about a message entitled God's Prescription for Fear. And after all, God is called the Great Physician. And I want us to look at the Easter story just for a moment through the lens of the eyes of the disciples. I think it's fascinating that after 3 years of being with Jesus, the last few days of the disciples' lives, their lives have been turned upside down. They've been in the upper room with Jesus, and at that particular upper room experience where they celebrated the Passover, Jesus told them some very unsettling news. I'm leaving you, and you can't come with me. And one of you is going to betray me. And then Jesus is arrested, and we know that Peter denies that he even knows Christ 3 times. And of course, at the crucifixion, there's only one disciple there. That's the disciple John. The rest are hiding in fear. And so as we come to John chapter 20, we see that the disciples are afraid. Not unlike the fear that we're experiencing in our world and in our nation. I don't know what your fear level is today. It might be a 1, it might be a 10. We're fearful for our own physical well-being. We're experiencing fear for the welfare of our loved ones and friends. We're experiencing maybe some anxiety about our economy and what the future looks like. And if we listen to the news, we read news headlines like this that I recently read. The Dow Jones careened lower on Friday, and the International Monetary Fund warned that the global economy is on the brink of humanity's darkest hour. Not exactly encouraging news. Author Max Lucado wrote a little booklet entitled Imagine Your Life Without Fear. Here's what he writes. Fear itself is not sin, but it can lead to sin. Fear will always knock on your door. Just don't invite it in, and certainly don't offer it lodging for the night. Well, as we think about God's prescription for fear from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22, let me just set a little bit of the context. It's the very first resurrection day. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary have come to the tomb very early to anoint the body of Jesus. And they discover that the tomb is empty. And Peter and John, two of the apostles, rush to the tomb. And they look in the tomb and see the empty tomb. And yet, they're still not convinced where Jesus is. In fact, John writes that they still did not understand about the resurrection. Their lives were filled with fear. And so the disciples go back to that very first resurrection Sunday night. And where are they? They're in a room, probably the same upper room where they observed the Lord's table. And they're together. And here's what we read about their circumstances in John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of Jewish leaders. Let me read that again. On the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together. There were 10 of them. Judas Iscariot was gone. John tells us later that Thomas was not present. So there were 10 disciples in a room with the doors locked because they were fearful of the Jewish religious leaders. They were afraid that just as Jesus was crucified, that they would come after them and their very lives were at stake. I find it fascinating that 2,000 years later, on this Easter Sunday 2020, we can relate to the very same circumstances that those 10 disciples found themselves in, alone, together, on lockdown, fearing for their very lives. And that's what most of our country is facing right now. And so the question that we want to ask, the $64,000 question is, what changed? What transformed those 10 disciples from being locked in that room, fearful for their own lives, to just a few weeks later, the Apostle Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost and preaching a great sermon about the resurrection of Jesus and 3,000 people coming into the church? What changed that enabled in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John being boldly proclaiming the gospel and those same religious leaders bringing them before them and saying, hey, we don't want you to speak about Jesus anymore. And it talks about the fact that they saw the courage of John and Peter. What changed? How did the disciples transform from being fearful to fearless? That's what we want to share. God's prescription for fear. And that prescription hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Let me summarize God's prescription for fear in three words. The resurrected Christ. And so let's look at three key truths from John chapter 20. God's prescription for fear is for us to encounter the presence of the resurrected Christ. God's prescription for fear is for us to encounter personally the presence of the resurrected Christ. John writes, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together and the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus showed up. This was the first time that the disciples had seen the resurrected Christ. Jesus came to them in their time of fear. And Jesus then showed them, proved to them that it was Him. We read in verse 20 that Jesus then showed them His hands and His side, the scars in His hands and the scar in His side. And it says that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Amidst their fear, amidst their anxiety, amidst the disorientation of their lives, Jesus came to them and showed up. And one of the ways that we can deal with our fear is to experience the presence of the resurrected Christ. And the presence of the resurrected Christ brings us joy into our life. The psalmist writes in Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And so the first prescription for fear is the presence of the resurrected Christ. So we ask ourselves the question, can we experience the presence of the resurrected Christ? Of course, the answer is yes. But the question is, how? How can we experience the presence of the resurrected Christ? Let me remind you that Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. God speaks to us through His Word, and we speak to Him through prayer. And so in these unprecedented days of change and turmoil and fear and anxiety, we can experience the presence of Christ as we get into God's Word, as He speaks to us, and then we speak to Him. Revelation 3:20, the letter to the church at Laodicea, we read these words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him." And so Jesus Himself is desirous of us opening the doors of our hearts, taking time and experiencing the presence of the resurrected Christ. And oh, how we need to do that in these times of fear and anxiety. But there's a second prescription for fear that is found in this text here in John chapter 20. Not only do we need to experience the presence of the resurrected Christ, but we need to experience the peace of the resurrected Christ. The peace of the resurrected Christ. Notice the very first words that the resurrected Christ speaks to the disciples. In John chapter 20, the last part of verse 19, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Verse 21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And so the very first spoken words to these disciples in that room, locked doors, fearful, was Jesus gives words of peace. And as we hear a lot of voices in the news media and voices of fearful people and voices of our friends, I trust that we will listen to the voice of Jesus, the one who said, peace be still, who calmed the waves of the storm. Now, there are two aspects of peace that Jesus wants to give us, that the resurrected Christ wants to give us. First of all, he wants to give us peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And the peace with God the resurrected Christ gives us helps us to overcome our fear of death. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone and our eternal destiny is secure, it's the very reason why Jesus came. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we read that Jesus came to deliver us from our fear of death and free us who all our lives were held in slavery by our fear of death. And so I trust that you've experienced that peace with God. That is a one-time experience where when we put our faith in him, we are reconciled to God and we are justified with him. We who were God's enemy are now at peace with God. But there's a second kind of peace that God offers. This is a daily peace that we need to download in our lives. It's the peace of God. It's that peace that the Apostle Paul writes about from a prison cell in Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Psalm 34:4, the psalmist writes, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. He is called the Prince of Peace. And so the presence of Christ brings us joy. The peace of the resurrected Christ brings us assurance. Assurance of our eternal destiny and calmness in the midst of the storms of life with a peace that surpasses all understanding. But there's a third part of this prescription that the resurrected Christ wants to give to us. It's not only the presence of the resurrected Christ that should bring us joy, the peace of the resurrected Christ that gives us assurance of our eternal destiny and a calmness and a peace as we put our trust in him. But the third prescription that God gives to us from John chapter 20 is that the resurrected Christ gives us purpose and power. The resurrected Christ gives us purpose and power. Again, in John chapter 20, the Apostle John writes, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. And then he said these words, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So just as God the Father sent his own son Jesus into this world to accomplish the mission, a rescue mission, Luke 19:10, Jesus came, to seek and to save the lost. When he was done with that mission, he sent us on a mission. He commissioned those disciples, and in turn, he commissioned us to be the body of Christ. We're to be the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus. And just as God the Father sent Jesus on a mission with a purpose, Jesus now commissions his disciples and in turn us to have purpose and meaning in life and with the power of the Holy Spirit. It was Mark Twain who spoke these words. The two most important days in your life are the day that you were born and the day that you discovered why you were born. The two most important days in your life are the day that you were born and the day that you discovered why you were born. And so what is our purpose? As Jesus commissioned his disciples, it's to know God and it's to make him known. And so Jesus' prescription for fear was to commission his disciples with purpose and power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised that earlier in the upper room discourse when he was speaking with his disciples there in John chapter 16, verse 7. He says, it is good for you that I'm going away because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And we know in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus ascends into heaven, he tells the disciples there to wait. And in Acts chapter 1:8, we read these words, but you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And in 10 days later, that power came. It was the power of that day at Pentecost that came upon those early believers that infused the disciples with power and boldness so that that Galilean fisherman Peter was able to stand up and boldly proclaim the gospel and the risen Christ. And so the third prescription, part of the prescription for fear is that the resurrected Christ gives us purpose and power. And he sends you and I. We're sent to our families to disciple our own families and to help encourage them to be followers of Christ. He sends us out into the marketplace to be salt and light. We're sent to our communities and our neighborhoods to be Christ representatives, to do good works, to share the gospel so that they too will come to know Christ and glorify our Father in heaven. Ultimately, we're sent into the world, the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations. And so the resurrected Christ gives us purpose and power and therefore gives us great meaning in life. I love what Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus not only commissioned those disciples with a purpose, they were the sent ones, but he said, I want you to go forth in not your own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so God's prescription for fear hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The same three truths that transformed those disciples from being afraid in lockdown, fearing for their lives in that upper room in Jerusalem, the same three truths can transform our lives. The resurrected Christ, the presence of the resurrected Christ brings us joy. The peace of the resurrected Christ brings us assurance of our eternal destiny, and it brings us the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that can guard our hearts and minds. The resurrected Christ gives us purpose. As the Father has sent Jesus, now Jesus sends us into our world on a mission to represent him, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that gives us true meaning and purpose in life. I don't know where you are on the fear level chart. We're all experiencing a certain level of fear. But my prayer for you is that as you experience the presence of the resurrected Christ, the empty tomb, as you experience the peace that the resurrected Christ gives us, as you recognize that he gives us purpose and power to carry out the mission to represent him, we'll experience the joy, the assurance, the calmness, and the meaning in life that God wants us to have. And so let me close with the lyrics of one of my favorite hymns. Perhaps you've heard it. Perhaps you're familiar with it. Just a couple lyrics from the hymn, In Christ Alone. I think the words are powerful. The hymn writer, author writes, In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final death, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. The key to having victory over the fear that we're all experiencing is the fact that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is alive. As we encounter his presence, as we encounter his peace, as we encounter his purpose in our lives and his power through the Holy Spirit, we can have joy and peace and be on mission. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth, the fact that the tomb is empty. And Lord, we think about that great chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, that resurrection chapter, as the Apostle Paul almost shaking his fist at our chief enemy, death. And he writes those words, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he encourages us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. So we thank you that you're alive. We thank you that we can experience on a daily basis the presence of the risen Christ, the peace of the risen Christ, and the purpose and power of the risen Christ. And so may we go forth in your peace, in your power, experiencing the joy that only you can give. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.